So recently, newspaper reports have claimed that the Dyatlov Pass incident mystery has been solved. And for those not familiar with the mystery, it's the case of nine Russian hikers who died in the northern Ural Mountains in February 1959 after heading for Orotan Mountain, which is known by local tribesmen as the Mountain of the Dead. They were led by Igor Dyatlov, who's pictured here, and were Russian students in the Soviet Union at the time. But all did not go well for the expedition, and they were found days later dead with horrific injuries and their bodies scattered over a wide area. The injuries were variable and bizarre and included a fractured skull, one person had missing eyes, and one had a tongue missing. There were a variety of theories for the deaths, including a Yeti attack, because a picture was found which showed a figure here, which appears to be like an abominable snowman. Also meteorological phenomena known as katabatic wind, the traditional alien abduction or alien attack theory, KGB death squads, and an avalanche or murder by native Mansi tribesmen whose markings were found on trees nearby. When they found the hikers' camp, Soviet investigators found that the tent was actually cut open from the inside. In recent years, Russian investigators have reopened the case and looked at the evidence again. And they've actually reached a conclusion that the hikers cut the tent open to escape from an avalanche and then ultimately died of hypothermia. But it's clear that an avalanche wouldn't account for those kind of injuries sustained by the victims, and families of some of them have rejected the conclusion. I'm actually in the process of writing a book on the theories associated with the Dyatlov Pass incident, and we'll examine them in further detail then. In the meantime, links to my other books are in the description below. And for now, thanks for watching. Please like, share and subscribe, and feel free to watch any of my other videos. So I have a potential brand new lead in the Dyatlov Pass incident case. My previous video looked at the new official findings of a recent Russian study into the case, or a reinvestigation, which suggested that an avalanche killed the hikers in 1959. But as a result of that video, I was contacted by someone who essentially claimed to be a member of the US intelligence services, and he posited a very different theory. The source, who simply went by the pseudonym Indrid Cold, sent a long explanation of his involvement in the Dyatlov Pass mystery, and especially the recent reinvestigation. It's a page and a half of A4, but I think it's worth reading the whole thing out, simply because this is brand new information potentially, and needs to find a wider audience. So what will follow shortly will be the account that I've received, but I'd just like to state from the outset that I actually contacted the Central Intelligence Agency, and they've neither confirmed nor denied any US intelligence services involvement in the investigation of the Dyatlov Pass incident. So the source said, "I worked on the team of investigators that recently assisted surviving family members in putting pressure on Russia to reopen the case. After some clever and skillful political manoeuvring and bureaucratic gymnastics, courtesy of my commanding officer, I headed up the team from the United States that travelled to Russia. We visited the scene of the tragic incident several times and interviewed some surviving friends and one surviving detective. We were also granted access to the surviving evidence, as well as all surviving case files. At least that's what we were told. Just to get this out of the way immediately, an avalanche is completely out of the question. All you need to do is visit the area to understand what I mean. We're talking about a roughly 30 degree incline above them and a tent located on a sort of plateau of land. The hill becomes more steep, increasing to roughly a 40 degree incline. As you travel beyond the location of the tents down to the tree line, they were far too close to the peak of the incline for any snow to gather enough momentum to do any damage. Moreover, there had not been and still have not been any reports of avalanches in that specific area. Ever. With that out of the way, we were shuffled about consistently, very restricted in our movements and never allowed out of sight of Russian governmental assets while working. Most were uniformed, some were not. The plainclothes Russian fellow, pretending to be a tourist staying at the same lodge as my team, was not exactly discreet in his spying, especially when he would show up at the lodge's bar that we retired to each evening, always conveniently showing just a few minutes after we arrived. We had some fun with him after the first night there and really made him work to attempt to sell his cover story. By the final night, we just invited him over to drink with us, and finally he broke down and obliged. But I digress. Although we got access to some additional files that had been previously sealed, our Russian counterparts were less than cooperative and in a hurry to send us packing back home. The famous tent still exists and we were allowed to inspect it. One of the most significant misnomers regarding this case is the statement that the tent was cut open from the inside. This was never thoroughly investigated, nor was it confirmed by microscopy. They literally took it to a seamstress and asked for her opinion. They would not leave it in her possession, so we're talking about one woman's opinion after just a few minutes of looking at a heap of weathered/tattered fabric. They did not set it up for her, so for all we know, she was looking at it inside out. After inspecting it ourselves with a set of 25x dual glasses, it became quite clear that it was cut open from the outside. There were many other issues with the original investigation, but ultimately we came away from the trip realising these poor kids truly just were in the wrong place and at the wrong time. They were subjected to the percussive blast waves of small nuclear munitions that were being tested in the valley/pass. These munitions were designed to float down and detonate roughly 100 metres above the ground. In one of the unreleased documents, we found evidence that extreme weather testing on the altimeters used in the construction of these bombs was being carried out in the area. During the same month, the incident occurred. The next dates of specific tests were missing or illegible, of course. It's been well known for some time now that a large pile of metallic debris and scrap metal was found nearby where the bodies were recovered. Locals testified to seeing helicopters in the area prior to the bodies being discovered. Our Russian counterparts got very uncomfortable when we asked to follow up on these reports. We asked if we could set up a relatively small drone with a LiDAR module attached in order to search for more buried metal scraps, etc. They told us they would call their CO the next day for permission. Well, wouldn't you know it, our drone was accidentally damaged by the Russian MPs who were assisting us with transporting our equipment. What a coincidence, right? It's always believed that the Russian military made it to the site before the rescue team did, and potentially did some cleanup. Ultimately, I believe this to be 100% true. I also believe that the cuts in the tent were made from these military men. Looking at the full autopsy report, including photos that have never been released to the public, it was clear to the pathologist on our team that the young lady had bitten her tongue off. This is common with extreme head injuries. To this day, a huge portion of that mountainous area belongs to the Russian military and is still used for weapons testing. One of Russia's most secret nuclear installations is less than 100 miles away from where this incident occurred. At the end of the day, it would have been far more interesting to find evidence of aliens having been responsible, but ultimately it was just one of thousands of other mistakes made by the Russian government/military and then covered up to avoid responsibility and bad publicity. As a result of their efforts to obstruct justice and destroy evidence, as well as all the decades that have passed, there's simply no way of ever putting together an airtight case for the families to sue for justice and receive closure. And even if there were, the Russian government would never admit their mistake and illegal actions. However, the family members that we did speak to before we left thanked us wholeheartedly and told us that they agreed with our findings, and that is the closest to peace and closure they've ever felt. So something good did come of it, even if we can't, as US government intelligence employees, point blame at their government, make official accusations, nor publicly publish our findings in an official capacity. If it were not for the current state of affairs all over the world, but especially our growing tensions with Russia and China, we would have already published our findings in a media treatment. To be expanded into a story by Ralph Blumenthal and Leslie Keane via the New York Times. This is still the plan, but my commanding officer has asked that we stand down for the time being. But lucky you heard it here first. I didn't totally spoil it for you, however. I left this message brief and to the point in comparison to the level of detail you'll eventually see in the media article. I intentionally withheld a plethora of details regarding brand new evidence obtained, as well as evidence that either confirmed, refuted, or simply expanded upon all of the most persistent theories and anecdotal facets of the story that have stood the test of time. Although we were unable to be as thorough as we would have liked, we were on their turf and playing by their rules for the majority of the investigation. Nevertheless, just because your favourite theory on the subject was not mentioned here, it will be mentioned in the detail in the final story. And that's where the message ends. So he seems to be suggesting there that the Dyatlov hikers were killed as a result of a tactical nuclear test by the Soviets in 1959. I intend to expand more on this development and the other theories in my forthcoming book on the subject. So look out for that. In the meantime, this is the end for this video. Thanks for watching. Don't forget to like, share and subscribe, and leave a comment. What do you think happened at Dyatlov?